Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast where we talk about industry. We talk about manufacturing. We talk about solutions, all brought to you by the best that industry and manufacturing can provide. It is about you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly. Boy, do you innovate, and you're changing the world, and not just the world, but the lives in the world and my life. That's why we celebrate you on the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you very much for what you do. We appreciate it each and every day. You are heroes in my life, for whatever it means. Anyway, we got a great interview. His name is Tim Ward. He is a publisher, and he's with Changemakers Books. And we're going to be talking about resiliency, and we're going to be talking a lot about other things as well. Let's get going. Timely. Again, another timely, great, phenomenal interview with a professional, passionate about your success. And you know, you have to be successful. I'm willing it. You've got to be successful. You've got to be bold. You've got to be brave. Keep pushing. Do not give up. Move forward. Make mistakes. Get back up. Keep moving. And doggone it, thank you for what you do. Okay. So here I am. And I've got this little tidbit. It's just a little tidbit, so take note of this because it can be helpful. And I believe it reflects where we are today. One, so I'm reading. I'm reading in the morning. And I like reading stuff that feeds the heart, the mind, really, really good stuff like that to get the day going, get me focused, get me moving in the right direction. And I'm reading this sort of little section. And sometimes, and it frustrates me, but sometimes things are hard for me to understand. Well, you know, it might be the way the words have cadence to it, or the words that are used, or the sentence. Anyway, for whatever reason, I can't get anything out of it. And it frustrates me because maybe the topic is relevant, but, and I want to know. And I want to understand me, but I don't want to feel stupid, right? And I think that there's a lesson to be learned here, especially when it comes to the sales, marketing, and branding area of our businesses. So I read it, and then I reread it, and then I reread it, and I'm frustrated, and I can't really get it. And so I'm chewing up a lot of intellectual calories to try to get to the point where I understand it. So it continues to grind on me. It continues to frustrate me. And then I don't want to feel stupid. I don't want to say, gosh darn it, I just don't have the intellectual capabilities of understanding it. Nobody wants to feel that. Nobody wants to work that hard on something, even though it might be worth it. My recommendation going forward, especially here, before we get into the interview, is ask this question. Recognize, one, that your customers, that your prospects, that your, you know, let's say partners have a desire to understand and know. They do. Because if I know and understand, then I have greater opportunities to truly build off of that and be successful and prosper wherever it's going, whatever the information is all about. Makes sense, right? So ask this question. Is your material, your communications, your, you know, blogs, whatever it might be, just peppered with internal type of jargon? Like one of the challenges happens to be in the world of, let's say, digitization. Many companies live in that world. Many companies can talk and chirp and discuss those topics relatively easy because they speak the same language. But outside your market, the people that could truly benefit from your solutions don't. So when you have these conversations internally and with other companies who understand the lexicon, yeah, that's all fine. But if you really and truly want to expand your business, you have to look at the information you're providing. Does it meet the other 95% of your market that is truly having a desire to know and understand and, doggone it, not feel stupid? My recommendation is to look at how you're communicating externally and ask that question. Is it just peppered with jargon that's only known by just a handful of people because that's what you live in? You got to be truthful about that. And you got to recognize, if you're on version 10 and I'm a user and I'm just trying to evaluate version 1, we've got to disconnect. Because you're talking version 10 and I am talking version 1. Just be mindful of that. Just be mindful of the message you're sending and recognize just fundamentally that your customer, your prospect, truly wants to know and understand. Let's not make it so hard for them to achieve that and create some frustration with stupidity. Make sense? Absolutely it does. All right, let's get on with the interview. The gentleman's name is Tim Ward. And the company is Changemakers Books, or, yeah, you could go out to changemakersbooks.com. And, boy, you know what's interesting? So because I've had so many great opportunities to interview great people, we're just starting to get through all of this stuff. And we were talking specifically about resiliency. And a part of that conversation, of course, has to deal with are you positioning your company to be more resilient going forward? Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. You're going to have to sort of bake that in right now. And you're going to have to be able to do it yesterday. And so we really talked about resiliency. We talked about other solutions that are really associated with this pandemic and where we're going in the future. Anyway, great interview, great guest. Changemakers Books is the company. Tim Ward is the interviewee. Enjoy the conversation. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining and finding time in your busy schedule, even though we're sort of all sort of sheltered in our home. How you doing?
I am doing well, thanks, given the sheltering that needs to go on. For me, it's been a fantastic opportunity to rethink pretty much everything about life.
Not only rethink it, but clean the pool, walk the dog, and definitely mow the lawn. Yeah. What did I say? I said Tim, right?
It's all right, Tom.
Tim, did I say right Tom? Okay, Tim. Listeners out there, no, it's Tim. I have a doubt. Here, I'll show you. And if you're looking at on it, it's Tim. I had a friend that had a brother named Tom. His first name was Tim. Anyway, it's Tim. So don't make a note. Tim Ward is his name. So let's just continue going. Anyway, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And what's weird about it is like my pool is properly descaled, you know, because I'm just sitting there, what do I got time for, you know? But you're absolutely right. And I think that sort of goes in line exactly what we're going to be talking on this particular podcast. So, Tim, give us a little background on who you are, where you come from, and why you're such an incredible professional. And then we're going to get into the topic of resiliency. I like that.
So I'm a professional communicator, and that's turned into three different aspects of my life. I'm an author. I've written 10 books. I co-run a communications consulting firm that advises international organizations for development and environment and how to communicate better, everything from media interviews to public talks. And I'm a publisher. And it's as a publisher that I've had the most thinking about what does this crisis mean. Let me just throw it back over to
there's, like you said, it's sort of a dual-edged sword in this particular matter, because you're sitting there going, doggone it, I'm tired, I got to get going, I got to get moving, I got to, you know, and just by the sake of just us being sort of encased in our house, we want to get going. But then the other side is like, For me personally, I've evaluated every aspect of my life in a sense, and specifically not from a personal perspective, but also from a business perspective. And then you just can't help, Tim, to sit back and say, what does this all mean? Where are we going? What, you know, pre-virus, we did business this way, but post-virus, what does it mean? And it's a big old just black hole. We don't know what's going on. And if you think you're going to do business as usual, I'm here to tell you, no, it's going to be different, and you better have your thinking cap on to be able to. So let's start out with just, you know, resilience. What does that mean? What does that mean from a business perspective? What does that mean from a personal perspective? Give us a little background on that.
So technically, resilience means the ability to bounce back, but basically it means toughness. If you look at it in biological systems, it means the ability to respond to damage by growing back into something. And really, there's no better definition for what we're facing right now is responding to damage. Now, this is not a single shock. This is a slow-moving, unpredictable thing. It's like a hurricane, right? You see those funnels for the hurricane? We don't actually know what the future is going to look like. No. And the problem, I see the problem that we face when it comes to resilience is we've fallen into one of the natural human responses to a big shock, to freeze. Literally, we've frozen in place. You know, it's fight, flight, freeze. We can't really fight the virus. It's not a thing we can grapple with. We can't run away from it. So we're freezing. And that makes sense. But freeze is a short-term solution. Any organism that's only defense is to freeze is probably not going to succeed in something that's big, slow, and devastating like this. So what we have to do as we unfreeze is shift, not back to business as usual, but how can we adapt and indeed evolve to a very different world, a very different landscape, which we're going to face no matter what happens for at least 2 to 5 years. And that to me is where resilience comes in.
I already don't have hair. I can't lose anymore.
You know, people who think it's going to be less, I say, so what's the scenario other than maybe it'll go away?
Yeah.
So we're not looking at a shock that you can freeze through. We're looking at, we've got to do some fundamental changes. With that moment though, the first thing we have to do, and I've had to come to do with myself, is come to terms with the facts that we are not equipped for what comes next. We have to build resilience. It's not like you are resilient. One of the beautiful things about human beings is we don't just evolve genetically, slowly over many generations dying. We can evolve mentally by adapting the tools that can make us resilient, right? Like humans evolved fire, they evolved language, they evolved tools for hunting. They evolved, the ability to make our own food from the ground. So we do conscious evolution. So what are the skills we need to consciously become more resilient? That's what started to fascinate me.
So with that said, that's interesting. The point that I want to make sure the listeners hear is we're not equipped. That's mm-hmm. an interesting statement. That's one thing. But it also tells me that can we get equipped? I mean, that to me is like, okay, if you're not now, can we, or are we just sort of, you know, boiling in this cauldron of you know, whatever it is? Can we get equipped?
So my answer to that has become a surprising yes. And it's something my boss in my publishing company said on an almost offhand way about 6 weeks ago. He said, you know, people are helping other people make masks. People are delivering food. What do we have as a publishing house that we could offer? And, you know, could we get some books out there fast that could actually help people? Well, my imprint, Changemakers Books, deals with books on transformation. And he basically said that, and I jumped on it because I've been suffering in place, I guess you could say, just, you know, trying to get more information about this virus, watching the world spiral in very ugly ways. But this gave me a sense of purpose, and I knew the right people. So within just a couple of days, I'd marshaled 10 authors who said, yes, these are all experts in different areas. And they agreed to write a 20,000 word book that was practical, valuable skills that you could build. These are things like adapting and planning and how to do that when the future is unpredictable, how to deal with anxiety. And some people are chronically anxious, but for almost everybody, anxiety about the future has become a big part of our lives. Well, there are special skills that you can learn to help you cope better so that you don't emotionally spin out. 10 books altogether in this series. They all got right on it. I drove them hard. They completed their books in less than 3 weeks. Our publishing house finished them in 2 weeks. And instead of the usual year to get them into bookstores, they're being published now in early May. Like right now as we speak, they're available.
Okay, so here's a shameless plug. I'd love to be able to have them on the podcast.
Yeah,
fabulous. In a series. It's like, doggone it, man. That's because everybody needs to hear that message, read that message, because if you're facilitating the ability to become more resilient, boom.
Yep, and that's it. Each of these books, one aspect of resilience by people who are masters in that aspect. And by sharing what they got, we can not only adapt, but we can evolve. We can start to take these new skills and make them part of what it is to be human, instead of just spiraling or freezing in place.
Brilliant. Love that. I really do. That I would love to, I mean, that's brilliant. And that's, you know, we need it. You know, it's so easy for us, for me, you know, for many, it's easy to just sort of, oh, well, I'm rolling out of bed. I'm walking the dog. And you get into that rut, whatever that rut is, that rut is not going to help you in the future. It's a rut. You're stuck. So I like that initiative. That is a bold initiative. I like that a lot. So with that said, and we don't have a crystal ball. We don't. I mean, we might have little pieces and parts of what the future will hold. What do you recommend today for the listeners out there on what we can do to sort of, in essence, start developing outside of reading those books? I got that. The second part is, what can we do today from an actual, action today?
Yeah. I would say probably the most important thing anybody could do, and this is in our first book, Adapting and Planning, is avoid anchoring on one scenario as if that's how the future is going to be. That's our human tendency to think we can predict the future and then we plan for what we've predicted. But right now, we don't know if this virus is going to mutate into something more dangerous, if it's going to mutate into something less dangerous, if we're going to get a vaccine in 8 months or 2 years or not at all, because we've been trying to get some vaccines for years. So the danger is to anchor around one strategy and think that's what the future looks like. Instead, you need to be able to plan for multiple strategies. Just like, you know, let's say you got a picnic plan next Saturday. Well, you shouldn't just plan for picnic or no picnic. You should plan for picnic and then it rains. You got to make a couple of things that you can flexibly adapt, because there's no one path to the future right now.
Yeah, your business continuity plan prior to the virus did not include global pandemic and the world just shut down. It didn't.
Exactly. And if your business plan is involving one strategy for the future that you think is going to happen, odds are small that what you're predicting is going to be there. So how can you plan and how can you communicate with everybody else in your teams so that they're not anchoring around, well, this is how it's going to be. We as humans, we're wired to crave certainty. Even though if there's one thing we know, our plans usually don't work out as planned. But we're wired that way. So that's one place where we can adapt and evolve, become more flexible in our thinking.
Yeah, I mean, this is really challenging for many to what you just recommend. I know that for me, I always try to say, there's the solution. Kaboom, and we're just going in that direction whether we like it or not, and that is my plan. Don't show me any of this stuff over here on this side of the road and that, whatever. And we're just going to have to learn that capability to be able to come up with multiple scenarios. Some people do it naturally. A lot of people don't. You know, right. It just is what it is. Now, what I've always been struggled with and what I'm challenged with, and I think this is new today as opposed to prior, because conferences are going to be impacted for the foreseeable future. So that means we have to learn how to communicate and learn how to communicate in a virtual way. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that I do is I coach conference speakers. And with all these conferences being shut down, I've noticed people aren't canceling their conferences. Excuse me. They're postponing them as if we'll be doing conferences in the fall. That's the freeze response. It's not going to happen. Yeah. It's going to take a while, but people are realizing, no, we have to do this virtual, and they have no real clue. In fact, virtual conferences are going to have to be very different than face-to-face conferences.
Talk to me about that, because I have a point that I want to bring out in this conversation, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
Sure. The biggest problem you face is in an actual conference, think about it. It's like you're in a movie theater or a play. Everybody's sitting in a row, but the stage is lit. Everything's set up for you to listen to what's going on in the front of the room. Now, in a virtual conference, all the action is taking place from the audience's point of view right there on their computer screen. That is the biggest weapon of mass distraction in the world.
It is.
Right? Your email's coming in. You've got your phone next to you for texts. The minute the speaker on the screen gets the slightest bit boring, you've got 100 other things you can go to, and you won't come back.
Man. You won't. It's a switch, and that is my beef. It's like, okay, love the virtual conference. Love all of this stuff. Webinars, you can have the cure for cancer, but if you are not engaging or figure out what that, you know, that model is, then you fail at people consuming your content. Because it's right. Like, click, I'm not going to listen to this. This is boring.
Absolutely. And not just in conferences, even in team meetings. Yes. You may think, ooh, I've said it all to my team. They're ready to go. They probably missed more than half of it. So I can break it down, Scott, into a couple of key things that people need to do when they're communicating in this new virtual reality. The first thing is, don't waste time. The second you are boring, you're losing people. They're shedding interest, even if their face is still on the screen. So you want to watch out that you don't say things like, as I've already said.
Oh, or, man.
Right? Or I might be wrong on this, but all these, there's so many verbal cues we give to people that what I'm saying is not important.
I love it, man.
Those have to go. And you have to avoid rambling. If you sound like you don't know where you're going, nobody's going to follow you. You may think you're leading, but you're just talking and nobody's listening. So
I'm telling you, if I look at this conversation as a pie, right? And and you say, don't waste time. Well, that the people who waste time is, well, the majority of that pie, and there's a little sliver in there. And then when you start to talk about rambling, you just cut that in. It's like, oh my gosh, there's like three people in the world.
Absolutely. So what this means is that discipline for speakers is plan on being shorter. You know, there's some research out there, and I, from personal experience, I agree with it. If you're going on more than 45 minutes with your audience, you've lost them. Mm-hmm. So you as an individual speaker should really look at what's your 5-minute talk, maybe max your 10-minute talk. Yeah. And then within that, you've got to do a couple of things brilliantly. First of all, you have to keep their engagement as if they are watching a movie and your show is the movie, right? Do what movies do. Keep them entertained with really interesting stories. Let's talk about things that are meaningful to them, that they really care about. If you're not talking about what matters to them, they'll tune out. And third, switch it up. Movies don't show you one continuous scene of the same conversation for 2 hours. That means you might want to bring in some slides, bring in some video, change your tone of voice, maybe even have an interaction with somebody. If you do the same thing for a long time, you'll lose them. So those three things can help anybody be better communicators in the virtual world.
See, you're spot on. This is my passion. I might not be as polished as you, Tim. I might not be able, but it is exactly what you were saying. If I hear somebody just sort of rambling, I shut it off. If I hear any of those qualities that you mentioned, right? I shut it off. I'm more engaged when there's stories, right? Mm-hmm. Their stories is like, oh, really? I can relate to that. But how do we get people to do that?
That's the setup, of course, for the perfect answer. Read the book. Resilience, virtually speaking. And because it's possible to learn these things. My partner and I, we've made a career for 25 years teaching people to go from bad communicators to good communicators and good communicators to great communicators. They're simple tools. You can break it down. You can learn to do better. One of the best disciplines, something I'm going to do after our podcast, is listen to yourself. How do you come across? Because you can be your own best judge of where you need to improve.
You know, for me, because I've done 700 podcasts, I stopped listening to myself years ago. It was like, okay, that's edited, faded out. That's fine. We're moving on because I'm not going to, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You're absolutely right. And maybe for me personally, I need to be more critical so that I can improve, because I'm that guy that you don't want to talk to on, if you're not engaging, I shut you down. I'm not that I'm just not. So I'm, you know, it is what it is, but I think you're right. I think that's a new skill, and it can be a very powerful and valuable skills going forward. Cause if you can crack Absolutely. That egg, boom.
Absolutely. And you know, when we bring this back to resilience, each of us are learning now. We are all in our own experimental path. We're learning to do things differently, learning to do things better and more adaptably. We each have something to teach. We each have stories to tell, either about our businesses failing and falling apart, or about how we responded to that downward curve and we brought it back up. We kept it from crashing. We kept it afloat. That's a story that other people can learn from. So the ability to code your experience in a story and tell that story so that it becomes meaningful to others. That is single thing is a valuable skill in any business, in any walk of life.
Yeah, I think that's a truth bomb, because I've been wrestling with it personally, just trying to figure out what is that secret sauce? What is the ability? Because I believe if people are not consuming the content, like if they walk away and they're not listening to what you're saying, then I feel like I fail. I failed because I did not set you up for success. What could I have done differently? And I can be verbose. I can be big and all that stuff. But maybe it's just an interesting science. So what I've been doing, just FYI, because I want to your point of resilience. So I jump out and I'm joining industrial webinars, right? And the webinars are typically like, hey, these are the services that we're just so great at. And it's like, I think you need to think about that whole approach. And it's like old style versus what you need to do today. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Huge. Doggone it, huge. And then, now this is all in line with your book. By the way, your book, I'm looking at his form that he filled out, so don't mind me. You've got Adapting and Planning for the New Abnormal. Is that a book?
That's one of the books. Yep.
There's three books here for resilience.
No, there's a total of 10 books in the series.
Not 10 books in the series.
10 books in the series.
But you have a book.
Yep. Mine is Virtually Speaking.
See, that's the one I want.
Yep.
Let me just look. If you're out on the video, you'll see that there's some books back here, but I'm looking for Virtually. Nope, I don't see it back there on my my little bookshelf. Nope, I don't see it at all, Virtually Speaking.
Well, it's just available today, early May.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we have, just so that your listeners are on target here, you have a website called Resilience-Book.
Books with an S.
This, doesn't have an S on it, so oh, I'm going to
should be an
that.
S on that.
So books, and that is the 10-book series.
Yeah.
I'm going to note that. And in that 10-book series, you're just covering topics that are specific today, right now, and must-have read type stuff, not just for business, for people that it goes across the board.
Exactly. Would you like me to give you a quick breakdown of the books?
Please.
Okay.
Make it happen,
so,
Captain.
They fall in three categories: books for coping, books for connecting and getting stronger, and then books for communicating. So the books for coping are, first of all, Adapt and Plan, core skill, but then also Handling Anxiety, Navigating Loss. Mm-hmm. And for people who are in the 65 plus age group, we've got a special one called Aging with Vision, hope, and courage, because we recognize that older people are not only more vulnerable to the virus, but they're also more likely to be in places where they are alone, where they may feel isolated, and they may be losing their sense of meaning. So this is a book about refinding your purpose.
See, I love that. This is all about optimism. This is an optimistic conversation. This is what I like. Yeah. Continue. Let's go.
Yeah, sure. Then there's books for connecting, because through connecting, we get stronger. So there's a connecting with nature. Even if it's just in your backyard or out your window, that sense of being connected to the greater natural world around you helps build your own resilience. Then there's, for some people, going within. We have a book by a spiritual master called Going Within. How can you do the spiritual work that you may be driven to in this time of isolation and chaos? The third book in this second group is about connecting with other people, and it's called Grow Stronger. It's how we can frame our relationships and the way other people show up in our lives so that we can become our best self.
Love it. I do. I love this, man. I'm digging this conversation now. The last, and the three C's, and the last C, C's. Continue. Yeah.
The last one is about teamwork. How can you work together and rebuild your teams? Because people are scattered, right? Just because you're connected on a computer doesn't mean you've rebuilt your sense of team. So this is by a master team builder. It's called Virtual Teams Holding the Center When You Can't Meet Face to Face. And the last two books, yeah, go ahead.
No. These 10 books are out now on resilience-books.com. Is that?
Yeah.
They're out there.
They are. Okay, yeah. They are available. You can get them on ebook. You can get them in online retailers. And if you've got a bookstore that's still operating as an online store, you can go there and get them through them too. Right, the last two books.
What's that? Go ahead. Continue, please.
My book, Communication. Communicating, virtually speaking. And the last one, the life-saving skill of story. This comes back to what we were talking about, the importance of storytelling. This is how can you tell stories in a way that make a difference, both in your business and in your personal life, and how can you listen to other people's stories in a way that helps them?
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, this is brilliant. I love it. I love it a lot. And I think the listeners are going to love it. His name, and I hate to wrap it up, but I have to wrap it up. Doggone it. Tim Ward is his name, and you're saying to yourself, Scott, if I go out to LinkedIn and I type in Tim Ward, I guarantee you I'm going to find a gazillion Tim Ward. So that begs the question, how can I find you? Do I just sort of put in something of your business? What do I do to find you? Changemakers?
Yeah, Changemakers Books would be the easiest way to do it.
Changemakers Books. Reach out to this, Jen. He's going to be, I love your purpose. I love what you're doing. I love the information that you just said, hey, I got to get it out. That's what we're talking. That's the other side of this COVID journey we're on. It's that it's you, the selfless activity. Reach out to him. He will reach out to you most definitely. Also, remember, industrialtalk.com will have every bit of information known to man about Tim, his company, the 10 books, the website. So there's no excuse for not reaching out to him and finding out more, because these books are needed and they are timely. Tim, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast.
It's been my pleasure, Scott. You are the first host I've spoken to about this series. I couldn't ask for a better launch.
Oh, I love it, my friend. I love it, my friend. You listeners, stay tuned, because we're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you very much for joining. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Again, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast, where we celebrate you, the industrial professionals and companies that get it done. You're absolutely spectacular in my book. Top drawer. All right. Tim Ward was the interviewee. Thank you. Thank you to Tim for sharing his wisdom, his insights, and definitely the topic of resiliency. Very, 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 very important. And his website is resilience-books.com. He's got a library out there of great authors as well as great books for you to consume. It will be out there on industrialtalk.com. Every link known to man. Once again, remember, think about the individuals that you're talking to. Your message needs to be told. Your information needs to be consumed. if your target, your prospects, are just shutting down because they can't understand, we fail. We fail because they're not consuming the information. So let's make it easy. Let's not require that they consume or burn up so much intellectual capital that, you know, they just sort of zoom out. So make it easy, because they want to know and they want to understand and they want to continue to sort of collaborate with you. All right. Thank you very much. We're going to wrap it up. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what you're doing. Thank you. And we'll be back later.